midst of it, he's going to raise an army. Who believes that? Not a kabobble, shalobble, but an army that's disciplined, moving in rank, moving in column, turning their plowshares to spears and swords. God is God. God is a God who has an army ready, an army of the kingdom of God. Not anyone can just join this army. You must be prepared. Amen. In fact, the word that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago was Isaiah 66, 1 and 3. It says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine, for the light has come. Arise, shine." You cannot shine unless you arise. I'm going to say that again. You cannot shine unless you arise. And I really believe that this is the echo of the call of God upon the church today to arise. Amen. Too many Christians are asleep. Too many Christians are in the wrong position. We need to be risen up and standing forth for the things of the God, for the truth of God, and for his cause of God. Above more than anything else this day, that our mouths will be filled with his word. Amen. And that's the truth. Our mouths must be filled with his word and his purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. He says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You have been manifested and you're on earth and you're still breathing for one reason, and one reason only, is that which is to fulfill the call of God upon your life. If it was for finished, he'd take you home. This is not your home. You're sojourning. Amen. Therefore, if I get up in the morning, there's a reason. Right? You have a purpose. What we have to do is lock into his purpose more than anyone else's purpose, even my own purpose. Joel chapter 3, verse 9 to 16. It says this, "Proclaim among the nations, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men." Wake up the what? Mighty men. They're not mighty till they what? They got to wake up. They got to wake up. Wake up the mighty men. Let the men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat the plowshares into swords, the pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, "I am." Let the weak say, "I am strong." When I bow my knee and when I'm in humility before the Lord, I get a strength from the Holy Ghost. Amen. I get a strength from the Holy Ghost. In Isaiah 51, verse 16, it says, "I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand, establishing in the heavens, laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people." Acts 2:17, New Testament. There should be a word in our mouth. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall" what? They speak. There should be a word in our mouth. Amen. The word, the world needs to hear the word of the Lord. Not my opinion. Not my debate. He needs to hear the word of the Lord. For it's the word of the Lord that sets the captive free. It's the word of the Lord that will break their chains. It's not my theology. It's not my doctrine. It's not my exegesis. It's none of that. It's the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is given to every born-again Christian. The first word of the Lord is your testimony. How he saved you. How he delivered you. How he take you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have a word. God needs mighty men and women to wake up with the word in their mouth. Hallelujah. One word from God can change a person's life. One word. I remember when I was going to Fremantle one day and I was in this train. There's only two of us in a train. Remember the old orange diesel trains? You don't remember them? Gee, I'm talking a fair few years ago now. The old orange diesel train chugged into Fremantle. Two people on the carriage, me and this other man, I walks out. This man's just sitting there with his head against the glass. And God told me to go and tell him. He says, "Go and tell him that I love him." I walked back, knocked on the window, said to the man, "Jesus loves you." Burst into tears. He was on his way to commit suicide. He says, "Does anyone love me?" Didn't make sense to me. made all the sense to him. You see, the word of the Lord doesn't have to make sense to you. All he wants you to do is to speak what he says to you. Amen? And if you do, that word can set the captive free. You might walk away and you still don't know what it meant. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have the understanding of the situation. All he wants you to do is deliver a word. Amen? We need to be obedient in this hour to deliver his word. Hallelujah. But so many mighty men get captivated by other things. If Christ lives in you, man or woman of God, brother or sister, you are already mighty in strength and power and might by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're already mighty. There was a mighty man called, called Samson. Just the mightiest man that was. Called Samson. He got distracted. There was a Delilah. He fell asleep on her lap. She shouts and she awakens him after he had said his secret. Awaken, awaken, for the Philistines are here. And he jumps up, but it was too late. There's still Delilahs today trying to woo and soothe the Christians into a lullaby, so even though they're mighty, what they do is come lapse in their things of God and their call of God and doing what he requires of them, and we sleep in her lap. But when she tries to waken me up, I mightn't be where I should be. My prayer life mightn't be the same. Reading the word mightn't be the same. Seeking God's face mightn't be the same. Waiting upon the Lord mightn't be the same. Because I've come in that place of complacency. Anyone ever been there? Thank you for your honesty. A place of complacency in my Christian walk, thinking, well, nothing's changing, nothing's happening, so why should I bother? Hear me, the enemy is singing a lullaby song, trying to get the mighty men and women asleep, so all of a sudden their strength is cut down. But I want to tell you something. God always has a way. Amen? God will always have a way. Marcus just entered the room. God always has a way. And out of tragedy, out of despair, out of hopelessness, God will bring forth. Amen? So God needs mighty men and mighty women. There's always a Delilah. Mighty men and mighty women should act like this. Turn with me to Joel 2, 7 to 11. It says, the mighty men, they run like mighty men. In other words, they know where they're going. Mighty men should know where they're going. They climb the walls like men of war. They have a purpose. What is your purpose? Everyone marches in formation. They're of one heart. This is the army God's looking for. They're of one heart. Unity commands the blessing. Unity commands the blessing. Unity is not about we'll sing the same song this week and we'll do this. Unity is saying, I'm willing to be here and do this. I'm willing to be humbled. I'm willing to do what he requires of me. So the purpose of God's plan and kingdom comes to pass. It's all about his kingdom. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about my will. It's not about what I want. It's all about his will, what he wants, and his kingdom. And when we get into that unity of the Spirit, because the Spirit will never promote you above Jesus. It's all about his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I get in unison with that vision of the Spirit, therefore there's a strength and a unifying where we start marching rank in rank, arm in arm, as one voice. As one voice. When people do that and they're not even saved, things happen. When they built the temple, when they built big tower of Babel, when they built the Tower of Babel, they weren't saved. They weren't saved at all. They were of one mind. They were of one heart. They were of one voice. And God had to come down and confuse their language. Notice what he confused? Their language. He had to so they started speaking different things. Therefore, when they were speaking different things, they couldn't build. And it's when the church is constantly speaking different things, we can't build. We need to be of one heart, of one mind. It's not about promotion. It's not about recognition. It's not about acknowledgement. It's about the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? I don't want to build a tower and say, look at what we've built. What I want to build is people, and what I want to build is the kingdom of God, so when people go out, they start to declare and be the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Jesus says it like this, where two or three agree concerning anything on earth, it is done in unity. Unity. They do not push one another. They do not break ranks. They do what is required of them for the cause. They do what is required for them for the cause. Everyone marches in his own column. He sticks to where he's called. Though they lunge between the weapons, they will not be cut down. Though they run to and fro in the city, they run on the wall, they climb in the houses, they enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. Heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. It's an end time prophetic word. The Lord gives voice before his army. The Lord gives what? The Lord gives what? He gives them a word. He gives them a word. What's this word that is placed in your mouth? Life and death are in the power of the? And you shall thereof eat the fruit thereof. Life and death are in the power of tongue. The greatest unity that God wants to see besides his house is your house. What is my house speaking? What is my house declaring? Am I walking in rank with my wife or my husband? Am I in unison, in sync with the desires or the purposes of God? What? It has to start in my home. Can I hear an amen? For the camp is very great. Strong is the one who executes his word. Strong is the one who executes whose word? The minute you start declaring his word, there's a strength. The minute you start decreeing his word, there's strength. There's power in his word. Not your words, not my words, his words. So when you start decreeing something on his behalf, when he's told you to speak and you decree it, there's an anointing or a strength behind that word. And that word is more powerful enough to set the captive free. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe his word is more than enough? More than powerful enough to break chains? More than powerful enough to say, lay hands on the sick and they shall? When you speak that word? Hallelujah. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can endure it? 2 Samuel 23:15 to 17. I've got a lot to say this morning, so be with me. Here's the story of King David. The Philistines were in Bethlehem. David was born in Bethlehem. The Philistines had overtaken Bethlehem, and there was a yearning in David, a hunger, a thirst. And it says this, 2 Samuel 23. In fact, it's the last words of David speaking. So then David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. What did they do? Mighty men break through. I'm going to say it again. Mighty men break through. Three mighty men was enough to break through a city. Paul says it like this. When two came into the city, they could turn the city upside down. Three broke in. Three mighty men broke in. They heard the cry of the king. He never asked them to do it. They knew the heartbeat of their king. They wanted to please their king. See, mighty men want to please their king. Mighty men are hungry to please their king. They heard a word, they heard the heart of the king. Oh, that I could have a drink from the well of Bethlehem. They went, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out before the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. It is not the blood of men who went to jeopardy for their lives. In other words, he was saying this, their lives were more important than that water. Right? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. The three mighty men were this. Who were this? Josheb, Eleazar, and Shammah. And it's amazing what the meaning of their name means. It means dwelling in rest. Do you know you fight from a place of rest? It's not about froth and bubble. It's not about how loud you shout. And it's not about how much sweat you make. It's from a place of rest. Amen? Eleazar means God has helped. God has helped. Do you know when you go into battle, whose battle really is it? God's. The battle is mine, says the Hallelujah. Shema, at that place. Three mighty men. Josheb, Eleazar, Shema. The dwelling in rest. God has helped me at that place. No matter where you're at, if you're mighty, you can have rest. If you're mighty, God's with you. The three mighty men were with one desire of one heart, one mind. That is to please the king. Their heart was, I must get what he longs for. I must get what God he longs for, my king. Is that my heart this morning as a mighty man? I've got to get what my king wants. I've got to give him what he wants. Is there a longing inside me that says, I want to give Jesus, my king, what he wants? I must get him what he longs for. I must be about the king's business. That mindset brought breakthrough. That mindset brought breakthrough. The three mighty men's desire was to present the king with a gift of his heart's cry. What's the gift? What's the heart cry of our Father this morning? What did he say? What did he leave us with? He left us with a commission. He left us, his yearning and his longing is for what? Souls. He loves people. He doesn't love stuff. He doesn't love cars. He doesn't love houses. He doesn't love things. He loves people. He loves people. This could have cost them everything. They laid it on the line, entered the enemy's camp, and brought back his heart's desire. They risked their lives to please the king. They laid it on the line. My king wants to drink. The natural realm would say this, yeah, but the city is full of Philistines. Who are the Philistines? What do Philistines represent to us? The world, the enemy, strongholds. It's full of Philistines. I'm not going to go there. It's safer staying here. We'll just sing Kumbaya in the camp. No, but something gets stirred in a mighty man. When the king speaks, he wants to do. Hallelujah. The king pours it out. The king pours out that which was given. Am I willing to be poured out for the king? Am I willing to be poured out for the king? Paul says it like this, that I became a drink offering, didn't he? And when you pour something out on the ground, you can't get it back. Gone. So when you present your life to Jesus Christ, Paul says it like this, my life is not my own. It belongs to another. Am I truly willing to be poured out for Jesus Christ? Am I truly willing to lose my life to please his life? Am I truly willing to say, King Jesus, I'm here to serve you. King Jesus, whatever your heart's desire is, I want to fulfill it. King Jesus, I know you love people. Help me. Give me the word to speak. Give me the word to speak. Allow me to be a mighty man in this hour with a word in my mouth that I can speak deliverance, wholeness, healing to people that are broken and dying in black, in this black world. To give light, amen, that they can see Jesus is the way, He's the truth, and He's my life. Hallelujah. The mighty men were prepared to risk it all for the king. Three mighty men, three means complete or unity. Three means complete or unity, in agreement one with another. Do you ever see the Trinity arguing? No. I'm going to put another one. Do you ever see the devil arguing? Do you ever see the devil arguing with another devil? He is so in unity to destroy everything about you. He is, the kingdom of darkness is so unified to destroy the kingdom of light. You will never see a devil fight another devil in the Bible. They have a cause. They have a purpose. And it's to destroy your soul. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. But don't get me wrong. You should know your enemy. You should know your enemy. Their heart's attitude was in love was towards him. Oh, it must be about the king's business. Households should be in unity of agreement. Unity of agreement. Unity of agreement. Every household should be in its own unity of agreement. That this is the way. That he is the way. And that we're fully serving him. Amen. That's why Paul tells us in Corinthians, don't be unequally, because there is division of vision. Amen. And please hear me with all my heart. I'll say this with all sincerity. When you marry a person that isn't saved, and you know they're not saved, when you marry them, you have no right to change them, because you married them for who they were, not for what they could become. Amen? Households should be in a power of agreement. Mighty men who say enough is enough. Mighty men who say enough is enough and are going to take back that which the Philistine or the enemy has stolen from you. If you have a true word in your mouth, you can possess the land. Amen. No devil in hell is stronger than the word of God. I refuse to stay. Mighty men say things like this. I refuse to stay in the wicked position because of the voice of their Delilah. This place of doubt, this place of complacency, this place of having a grasshopper mentality, this place of coulda, shoulda, woulda. I remember tribes. A coulda, shoulda, woulda, I remember tribes. Anyone ever done that as a Christian? A coulda, maybe a shoulda, maybe a woulda. Oh, I remember those tribes that we fight all the time. Always thinking about, always talking about it, but never doing it. Well, this morning I want to tell you, God's saying, arise, start to shine, for the light has come. When Joshua was on his face before the Lord, crying about his Ai, oh, Lord, are you with me? Oh, God. I mean, a village. Didn't even have a wall. It was a village. A village. I mean, he conquered his Jericho, but he came up to an Ai, a little village, and they got beat. Because there wasn't unity in the camp. They touched something they shouldn't have touched. And they did something they shouldn't have done. And it brought division in the camp. And so when they went up against an Ai, they got beat. So when Joshua was seeking God on his face, I love this. The Lord says to Joshua, get up. That's all he said to him. Get up. Didn't sympathize with him. Didn't say, oh, you poor thing, but if only you did this. Get up. So Joshua gets up. He says, are you for us or are you against us? The army of the captain of the Lord said this, neither. Shall I tell you why he said that? Because God only stands for truth. He doesn't stand for personalities. He doesn't give a hoot about your personality. He doesn't give a hoot. He just stands for truth. If an unsafe person is standing in truth, he'll vindicate them. As much as he'll vindicate a safe person. He vindicates truth. He's no respecter. That's exactly. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Amen. God's almighty men and women are ordinary people who choose to wake up. Who choose to wake up. Who choose to have the strength to get up. Just like the man, you know, the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 2 or 3. Chapter 3, thanks. Gate beautiful. Where he was lame from his ankles and his feet were lame. Never walked. But he heard the what? He heard a word. He heard a word. Silver and gold I do not have. But such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, rise up and, that was the word. And immediately, his ankle bones and his feet gained strength. Now, that was externally. But internally, that man had received something else. Because your ankles and your feet just don't jump up. All his muscles around that were restored. All the strength that he needed was totally restored. Something happened to him externally, but something also happened to him internally. And he had the faith to get up. See, when you speak the word, you might not see it externally yet, but something might be happening internally. And God is releasing a strength that they will one day get up. Amen. I've just got to speak the word. Hallelujah. You're very quiet in this house this morning. Hallelujah. Break through the enemy's camp to give what the king longs for. Next one, please. Mighty men have characters like this. They're loyal. They're obedient. Nothing the king asks for is too much. Wanting to please the king. People of conviction. People of a different spirit. No obstacle is too great. No obstacle is too great. Mighty men have the capacity to look at things with a different eye. They don't look at the impossible, but they step out by faith even when the odds look insurmountable. Who like Josheb, like Eliezer, like Shammah, they're prepared to please the king. Is there anyone here this morning that's prepared to please their king? Hallelujah. Next one. Three men take on the whole camp of the enemy of the Philistines to serve the king's request. The Spirit of God is saying this morning, wake up, mighty men, for the kingdom and the king are waiting for you. Wake up, mighty men, for the king and the kingdom is waiting for you to say yes. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Wake up the mighty men. Can you hear the Spirit say it this morning? Wake up the mighty men. You might be stuck in your AI. That man at the gate beautiful, he was stuck and it was no fault of his own. He was born like that. But he was stuck. He could never serve in the house of God. So no one lame, no one with a physical disability can serve in the house of God. He was close enough to hear it. But he was so lame he could never do it. Your God's here this morning to wake you up. Your God's saying this morning, whatever is weak, He'll make strong. He wants to place a word in your mouth to set the captive free. It doesn't need an evangelist, and it doesn't need a prophet, and it doesn't need a teacher, and it doesn't need a pastor, and it doesn't need an apostle. You have the same word, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Amen. He wants an army. He wants an army. He wants an army. And all he's saying is, are you ready? Are you ready to be that army in this hour? Because I'm telling you now, we ain't seen nothing yet. What the world is so chaotic. Hear me. It's going to multiply dramatically. Darkness, gross darkness will abound. But grace will abound much more. But we're living in them days where confusion reigns. I had a brother this week only say to me, oh, the world's this way. I said, well, what do you expect? Seriously, what do you expect from the world? It's in darkness. Its mind is so confused. It's so infiltrated by wokeism and infiltrated by the spirit of darkness that it can't even think for itself. It is blinded, my Bible says. Don't expect anything from them. Here's another good hint for Christians. Stop complaining about governments. In fact, my Bible says pray for them. Pray for them. They're under the influence of something. If they don't know Him, they know something else. Amen? And I put my hand up. I'm shocking. Help me, Jesus. By Your grace, Father. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of these mighty men in this hour with a word in my mouth to see the captive set free. See families touched. See children come to their fullness of potential that they've been born for. Amen. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning, say, God, here I am. Use me like Isaiah. Here I am, Father. Use me. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, we say, here we are. Lord, we know the hour is late. Father, we need the equipping of the Holy Ghost. We need Your word upon our lips. We need, Lord, Your conviction. We want to be pleasing my Father. We want to please our King this morning. So, God, we would say, Lord, we bow our knee to Your will and Your ways. Fill my mouth with a word in season for those who are on my path in life, that they might be set free, delivered, healed, restored into relationship with their Father in heaven. We ask in the name of Jesus. Please, Father, let us not be moved by what we see. Let's not be moved by the face of man. Let me not be moved by what I hear. But God, let me be moved by what's coming forth out of Your lips, out of Your mouth, out of Your heart. We ask in the name of Jesus. Raise up the mighty men and women. Anoint them afresh in the Holy Ghost. Equip them with the word in due season that we might see the captive set free in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you give a shout to your God. You give a shout to your God. Here I am, Father. Here I am. Use me in the mighty name of Jesus. We give You all the praise and glory. Father, I thank You. Father, we see an open door. Lord, in the book of Acts, they asked for great boldness. They had great faith. Father, we need Your boldness of Your Spirit. Too often we're moved by the face of man. Too often we're moved by what we see or what we hear. But God, I know and I'm fully convinced Your word is the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. I'm going to say it again. Your God is good. And He's going to make all things work out together for good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and then some fellowship. That would be great.